Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps, and thanks.
A decade or so ago, Charles Moore veered off course in a sailing race from California to Hawaii and found himself in a windless area called the North Pacific Gyre. Nearly everywhere he looked was floating plastic. In fact, so much plastic has accumulated there that it covers an area more than twice the size of Texas. The encounter inspired Captain Moore to found the Algeta Marine Research Foundation to study the effects of plastic on the ocean. He says it's the large pieces of plastic trash that have gotten the most attention, but he's increasingly concerned about the smaller stuff that's not so obvious. Captain Moore recently spoke with Living on Earth's Ingrid Lobet.
Captain Moore, we've all heard about plastic trash winding up in the ocean, but now it turns out if a scientist scoops up a handful of sand or seawater just about anywhere and looks through the microscope, he or she actually sees plastic? How can that be?
Plastic does not biodegrade. It's what we call bioinert. So what happens is plastic becomes embrittled. It ages through a series of processes instigated by ultraviolet light from the sun. And that degradation results in cracking and weakening of the tensile strength of the plastic, but it doesn't result in its becoming carbon dioxide and water like a piece of wood would or a piece of food scrap.
But the amount, we've actually changed the composition to the degree that any random sample that you look at under the microscope is now no longer mostly natural material?
As a matter of fact, in coastal studies off Southern California and in studies as far from the coast as you can get, halfway between Los Angeles and Hawaii, we found that in the surface, plastic outweighs plankton. And the coastal ocean even has more plastic than plankton near the bottom. We've done tows with what we call an epibenthic sled that pulls a net just above the floor of the ocean off of Southern California. And in those studies as well, we found more plastic than plankton.
And what is the main pathway? How has this much plastic made its way into the ocean?
I think it's all of us and our product and food delivery system, which is largely plastic. Trash receptacles are not always available, and it's very lightweight, and it blows and washes into the sea.
Now, every piece of plastic we've ever manufactured is with us. It doesn't biodegrade, but it does photodegrade into particle-sized plastic shards, and these, you say, are your principal worry. Why is that?
Well, because the main life cycle, the main activity that goes on in the ocean happens at what we call the base of the marine food web in filter feeding organisms. And if molecular sized bits of plastic are floating around there, they're going to filter them out. And the fish and birds and dolphins and whales and turtles, these larger creatures are feeding off of creatures which have consumed this plastic material. So we're concerned because this plastic material has been demonstrated to act as a sponge for pollutants and thereby transfer them into this marine food web.
As far as their appearance, do these plastic shards and pieces, do they mimic food for sea animals?
I've often said that there's no food in the ocean that plastic can't mimic. Just as plastic is infinitely moldable, the way it breaks down in the ocean is infinitely variable. And we have very large objects of plastic in the ocean. We have very small objects of plastic in the ocean. And they assume virtually every shape, consistency, and color. Actually, we think color is a very important component of consumption by creatures that selectively take prey. In bird stomachs, we find mostly red bottle caps, red cigarette lighters. Then there's the issue of what the turtles eat. The turtles eat jellyfish, which are pretty transparent, and their consistency is fairly watery, which a plastic bag can mimic very well. So they're easily confused, and it's well known that turtles are eating large quantities of plastic bags.
There is this development that researchers are talking about bioplastics or making plastic-like materials from vegetable matter. How much of a solution is that to the problem of plastics in the ocean?
Well, in our tests, the majority of bioplastics did not degrade. They're most of them designed to degrade in a compost pile. However, when you put it in a cool, wet medium like the ocean, we just don't see the kind of degradation in the ocean that we see on land.
What should government be doing? And what else could individuals be doing?
Well, government has to, what I refer to as kickstart the infrastructure. We have to have take-back programs. I mean, 27% of the total of what we found out in the North Pacific Gyre was thin plastic films like is used in packaging. That material has virtually no take-back. No code has to be printed on it so that you know what kind it is. And there's no infrastructure for taking it back and reusing it. Individuals need to bring their own bag. They need to bring their own cup. They need to make choices about the products that they buy and look for things that aren't wrapped in plastic. I consider it to be an irony that a product that lasts forever is used for seconds and tossed.
Well, thanks so much for talking with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for the interview.
Captain Charles Moore of the Algita Marine Research Foundation, speaking with Living on Earth's Ingrid Lobet.